baseball.
This is the Whole Hog Baseball Podcast, the only podcast devoted entirely to Arkansas baseball, featuring interviews with coaches and guests from across the country.
Welcome in Kendall Rogers of D1Baseball.com, Joe Healy of Baseball America, Chris Burke is with the ESPN SEC Network.
Now from Fayetteville, here's your host, Matt Jones.
2 weeks left in the regular season, and Arkansas has a two-game lead in the SEC West. Can the Razorbacks hold on? That's the question as LSU comes to town for what has been one of the more anticipated regular season series that I can remember. Arkansas enters this weekend with a 37-12 overall record and 17-7 record in the SEC. The Razorbacks' path to the SEC West title this weekend is simple. Sweep LSU and get a 2-1 split in the other big series in the division between Mississippi State and Ole Miss. If that happens, Arkansas will be assured a share of the SEC West championship and will need just one win next week at Texas A&M to win outright for the first time since 2007. Another way to win outright? Win both of these final two series against LSU and A&M. LSU enters this weekend ranked 17th, but most around the Tigers program would tell you they aren't playing like a top 20 team. The Tigers come into this series with three straight losses, including an eye-opening 12-1 defeat to Louisiana Tech the other night in Baton Rouge. But LSU still has a lot to play for. The Tigers have an outside shot at winning the West, and a win this weekend at the ever-tough Baum Walker Stadium would put the Tigers back in contention to host a regional. The question for LSU is whether it can hold down this Arkansas offense that has been red hot for the better part of the past month. LSU's pitching staff is extremely shorthanded, missing two pitchers with starting experience this year and without a left-handed pitcher to try and slow down Arkansas's predominantly left-handed lineup. For more on the series, we bring in Kyle Peterson of ESPN, who, along with Tom Hart and Eduardo Perez, will be calling Thursday's series opener on ESPNU. Kyle and Tom Hart will also be calling Saturday's game on ESPN2. For my money, Kyle, one of the great broadcasters on TV right now, regardless of the sport, one of the really good analysts, and we appreciate him taking some time for us. Kyle, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, you bet. Absolutely.
Kyle, I'm always interested in how former athletes get into broadcasting. You know, some of them, I think maybe it was a plan. Some of them lucked into it. But what was your story?
Yeah, actually a little bit of both. When I was in high school, we'd screw around sitting on the bench, acting like we were calling games at that point. I was always, interested in it, but had never really thought of it. I got released in spring training in 2003, and just wasn't good enough anymore as a player. My arm didn't work. I had three shoulder surgeries. I was throwing 80 miles an hour from the right side. Like, I was done. And I had a job lined up to work on the trading floor, trading bonds back in Minneapolis. And on a whim, when I played, my agent was Scott Boris, and I had Scott reach out to ESPN. It happened to be the first year that they were doing super regionals. They were on pay-per-view. So nobody was really going to watch anyway. And they said, yeah, I mean, if he wants to do it, we can send him out and have him do a super regional. And honestly, I was going to go do two or three games and go back and start working on the bond floor. And I never started. They called back, said, we want you to go to Omaha. And so I went down and did the College World Series that year from the sidelines. Didn't really do a whole lot. Did some major league games the rest of the year. And, you know, whatever. That's 16, 17 years ago. So, yeah, I mean, I kind of lucked into it, honestly. It was a phone call from Scott that led to an opportunity that has now led to a fun ride.
You know, and it's been college baseball. You live in Omaha. That's kind of a, I would say, kind of a storybook deal for you.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, that's what I grew up around. I mean, when you grow up in Omaha, we get a Triple A team, but you don't have a major league team. And so a lot of the names that you remember and the things that the baseball memories growing up, I would go to the series every year and then had a chance. I mean, our high school state championship was at Rosenblatt, where they used to, obviously before TD, where they used to play the College World Series. So that was my baseball. And what I remembered and the names that I remembered and everything else growing up. And it's, yeah, I mean, it's kind of a joke, honestly. I mean, I feel insanely fortunate to be able to do what I do and then have the series be at home and just be so comfortable with that. And then just to see the sport continue to grow, because it's more and more opportunities for a lot of other people on a yearly basis now.
Let's talk some about this series this weekend, Kyle. Isaiah Campbell, let's start there. This looks like a completely different pitcher than the last time you called an Arkansas game back in the College World Series last June. A lot more consistent. You know, command is a lot better. Stuff is a lot better. I wonder, what have you seen from him this year, and your thoughts on maybe how he's grown from last season?
Well, I think you hit it. The biggest thing for him is consistency. I mean, it wasn't, you know, there were flashes of it and some very good flashes of it last year. When it was right, it was very good. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't consistent enough. And obviously he was in a little bit different role last year than he needed to be this year. This year he needed to be the guy. And you never really know how somebody's going to mature into that when forced into that Friday night role, or I guess this week Thursday. But mm-hmm. Clearly he's getting better. I talked to Dave about it for a long time today, and that's the biggest thing he said. He just said from a consistency standpoint, it is light years from where it used to be. Stuff, yes, you know, the splitter, I know he's throwing a little bit more now, and I'll talk mm-hmm. to Matt about it more when we get over the ballpark. But to me, it just looks like a kid who's insanely confident right now. He's very comfortable in the role that he's in, and clearly it fits him pretty well.
When we talk about the great SEC pitchers this year, whether it be Ethan Small or Emerson Hancock or Tanner Burns, where does Campbell fit in that discussion?
He's in it. I think he's got to be in it. And you know, he's gone head to head and beat some of them. So mm-hmm. I think that's part of it. There's kind of two different discussions. One is just a draft discussion. Like, where's somebody fit in draft? Mm-hmm. The other is, where do they fit if it's just, we're just talking about college rotations. And I think for Campbell, he's absolutely in that discussion. Hancock may be at a little bit different level than almost everybody. Mm-hmm. When he's right, I know he's going to come back this weekend from Georgia, which is a good sign. But, you know, we're splitting hairs if we're trying to figure out which one of those guys is better. I mean, we were laughing the other day. Next year, you could have 6 or 7 first-round arms alone in the SEC. Hmm. And that's crazy. So, he's absolutely proven that he belongs in that discussion.
Kyle, let's talk about LSU a little bit. Kind of a hard team to peg down. They beat Mississippi State, but they've lost to Texas. They were swept at Texas this year. I mean, number one team coming into the season, haven't really lived up to that expectation. What have you seen from LSU?
You know, I've seen them a few times. I had them in that Mississippi State series. I had them, I think against Florida. I don't know. And I think the biggest unknown right now about LSU, which I don't think they know, is what they're going to get on the weekend, just from a starting standpoint. Mm-hmm. You know, what they thought their rotation was going to be definitely is not the rotation. I mean, Hilliard's going to throw game one. And then I think after that, it's Walker and Marceau, the freshman, who I haven't seen Marceau yet. But you just look at their numbers going into the weekend, and it's hard to score enough runs. That being mm-hmm. said, they're actually in a pretty decent spot in the SEC, given the challenges they've had on the weekend. Mm-hmm. Hess is back in the bullpen, which I think is the right spot for him. I think he's significantly better when he's in that role. And so if they can just get 5 or 6 from some starters this weekend, they got a chance. But I don't think any of them went further for 4 last weekend. Offensively, they're really good. They're really, really good. I think Josh Smith's going to be a big leaguer. DePlantis, obviously, you know, he's not going to catch Mangum from a hit standpoint, but he could catch Eddie Furness. And they're older. I mean, you get Hess that comes back. He could have signed. Watson comes back. He could have signed. DePlantis came back. He could have signed. So I think that's some of it, too. From an offensive standpoint, you've got guys that have been around this league for a few years. They just haven't pitched it as well as they need to.
You know, one of the interesting things about LSU, I think, is that they don't have any left-handed pitching. Their only left-hander was hurt earlier in the year. I wonder how hard is it, do you think, from a pitching standpoint, when you only have guys from one side of the plate or one side of the mound?
Yeah, I mean, it clearly hasn't benefited them. I mean, Florida's essentially in that same role. Mm-hmm. The only lefty that they really have is Jordan Butler, and that's it. I think he may be the only one on the staff. I mean, they've started using Austin Langworthy out of left field a little bit just to come in and give everybody a different look. But, yeah, I mean, it creates a different challenge, obviously, for Paul and for Alan Dunn just to mix and match when you know, well, I mean, a lineup tonight that Arkansas is going to throw some left-handers out there. That you can't go lefty-lefty and have that kind of a matchup. But, mm-hmm. I mean, I think their bigger challenge has just been they don't know what they're going to get on the weekend on the mound. And in this league, man, that is hard to play through.
You know, Arkansas hasn't beaten LSU since 2011 in a series, and Arkansas had some pretty good teams, you know, during that time and had LSU come in here, obviously, every other year. When you were playing, did you ever have a team that maybe you felt had a psychological advantage in a series, or do you think there's anything, you know, to that, to maybe, you know, as the rosters change, there's still maybe that psychology that's passed down through the years?
It could be. It's interesting. The only team that even remotely came up like that when I was at Stanford was Sacramento State, and we'd always play Sac State on Tuesdays. And I'll never forget. I mean, it was right away when we had Sac State in a week or two, and it was one of the older guys. They're like, "Yep, good luck there." Like, I don't know what it is, but every time we play Sac State, we get it handed to us. And my freshman year, I went 14-1, and my only loss was to Sac State. They beat us on a Tuesday. So, yeah, I mean, we had a little bit. It was, you know, I think it was the guys joked about it a little bit more then. But sure, I don't get the feeling that that's the case this weekend, though. I mean, I would be surprised if Arkansas doesn't win this series.
You think Arkansas is a better team?
Oh yeah, I do. I think, I mean, if LSU can get some consistency on the mound, if they can get Jaden Hill back, who they don't have right now, if Marceau can get to the point that they really think he can be, then it's different. Because then you've got an LSU club, and get Hess at the back end of the bullpen, who really fits well there. Then I think it's a very, very different situation. You just they don't know yet. And so I think until you get to the point to where you know, yeah, I think Arkansas is more complete right now.
You know, Arkansas goes into the series. They've got a 2-game lead over Mississippi State and Ole Miss, 3 games on LSU. They finish with LSU and A&M in College Station next week. What do you think the chances are that Arkansas can hang on and win at least a share, maybe the division outright?
I think they're in a really good spot. Now going to College Station next week isn't going to be easy because I mean, the first two arms that you face, Doxakis and Lacey, is, well, I mean, it's kind of like facing Small and Ginn, but that worked out okay for Arkansas against Mississippi State. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you win 20, 21 games, which is, I mean, probably the number that it's going to end up for Arkansas. You put yourself in a spot to play at home for the next 2 weeks, and it looks like they're putting themselves in that spot again.
Like I mentioned earlier, you live in Omaha. You went to Stanford, but you understand Nebraska. Nebraska and Arkansas, too, I think, kind of very similar states in terms of no pro sports and, you know, low population. And Dave Van Horn had a lot of success at Nebraska before he came here. I just wonder what you think of the job that he's done. He just got his 1,000th Division I win last week at Kentucky. Just the thoughts on his career, and it seems like he's really exceeded expectations wherever he's been.
He has. Yeah, he absolutely has. And now he's created a different set of expectations here now because of the success that he's had. I mean, I'm fortunate to have gotten to know Dave very well over the last, well, whatever it is now, 17 years. And I think he's one of the best in the game. We were actually having this conversation. We were driving back from talking to him today and just, hey, you know, pick 5 coaches across the country that you would want if you could pick any of them. And Dave's in that 5 for me. And I think, you know, he's had a little bit more turnover for all the right reasons in his coaching staff here over the last few years. He's got some guys that are going to take big time jobs. I mean, Tony going to Tennessee, the coach job with the Twins. And he's so consistent from a coaching standpoint, but also as a person. And I think the other thing, and it's obvious, he loves this place.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's different when you've gone there and you've got roots there. And I think, you know, it different having taken the route that he has. So, yeah, I mean, he's one of the best for me.
You feel like people maybe underestimate how difficult it was to win at Nebraska or how difficult
Yes.
it is to win at Arkansas and be able to bring in these recruits that they're able to and build the type of teams.
Yeah. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of baseball history at Nebraska. I mean, you know, Erstad was first pick in the draft. There were some guys that had come through that were good, but as far as teams that consistently won, it never happened until Dave got there. And he didn't have the stadium when he got there either. They were playing at Mug Belcher, the old turf on the infield grass in the outfield place. But what he did was he owned the state and made sure that the in-state kids were going to think Nebraska first. The coach before him didn't necessarily do that. And he had a staff with him that was really, really good. I mean, you look at what that staff has gone on to do from there. You know, it's no secret that there's been a lot of head coaches and those that have continued to rise up the coaching ranks for guys that worked for Dave. So yes, he stepped into a situation that really had next to zero baseball history. and Nebraska ends up going to the College World Series three times. I know he didn't take them all three, but it's, you know, he's still the main reason why they got to that third one.
You know, with 2 weeks left, Arkansas obviously leading the division, seems like there's a pretty good chance they could be a top eight national seed. Mm-hmm. 88-17 the last 3 years at Baum Stadium, now Baum Walker Stadium. I mean, if this team can get at home, what do you think its chances of potentially getting back to Omaha are?
Well, I think they're great. I mean, if you go through the grind that they've gone in the SEC and put – you win 20 games in the league, and you win one half or the other half, I don't care which half it is, you're a team that clearly has everything that it would take to get to Omaha. And I think when you look at this – at Arkansas's club now, it's that case. Mm-hmm. It's – I didn't think they'd be as good because, I mean, they lost a lot.
Yeah.
And you just don't know exactly what's going to come back. You don't know how Campbell's going to be in that role. Other guys that are thrown on the weekend that haven't before. And I know from my standpoint, and I honestly think if you asked Dave, he'd probably say this. Maybe not now. But I think it's exceeded his expectations too. Yeah, I mean, they're in a position to – you're in a position where you can play at home for two straight weeks in June. You're in a pretty good spot.
Yeah, you know, Dave sent the team home for Christmas last semester and told them, when you come back, don't expect to be ranked in the top 25. And, of course, they were top 10, and they played the top 10 team all year. Hey, Kyle, before we let you go, I wonder real quick about your hometown, Omaha. What's the flood recovery like? It's been pretty hard to see the pictures up there a couple of months
ago. Yeah, we're okay now. I appreciate you asking. Yeah. You know, a lot of it was some of the smaller towns a little bit west of Omaha. But there's still some spots to where roads are closed and they're having to rebuild. And, it's water's a powerful thing. I mean, we had it, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, right around the College World Series. Mm-hmm. Just affected a little bit differently. This one, if you fly out of Epley right now and take off, when you look into Iowa, I mean, there's still standing water a good mile and a half outside of the river. But, I think for the most part, everything's starting to come back. And it just reminds you how powerful nature can be and the fact that you got absolutely no control over it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Omaha is one of our favorite towns, and hopefully we can make it back there later this year and see more of the College World Series. Kyle, we appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, man. You bet.
Kyle Peterson of ESPN. When we come back, we'll talk to Ron Higgins, columnist in Louisiana, covers LSU, about the Tigers. That and more on the Whole Hog Baseball Podcast.
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app, presented by Absolute Heat and Air. Check out the all-new Fan Zone and get up-to-the-minute videos on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home, and take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app is presented by Absolute Heat and Air. For the absolute best service, trust Absolute Heat and Air.
Welcome back to the Whole Hog Baseball Podcast. We finished today's show with an interview with Ron Higgins. Ron is a longtime SEC reporter. Now he covers LSU exclusively for TigerDetails.com. That's part of the Rivals.com network in Baton Rouge. Ron, former longtime columnist for the Memphis Commercial Appeal. Hey, Ron, let's talk about this LSU team. And it's kind of hard to get a read on LSU here lately. I wonder just kind of what is the feel, you know, there in and around Baton Rouge as they go into the series?
Well, honestly, I mean, after the way they've been so up and down, and they've had so many injuries to pitching, mm-hmm. that it's affected their rotation. It's affected their I guess it's affected their offense, because their offense feels under pressure to score. The starters haven't done very well in the pitching for LSU. I mean, the starters' ERA in SEC games is just over 5 runs a game. LSU in the first 5 innings of SEC games, I think they've been shut out, 7 or 8 times in the first 5 innings. They fall behind, and they have to rally. And so there's a lot of pressure there. And really the starting pitching just hasn't been there. Three freshmen they count on. Two of them have, all of them have been hurt at one time or the other. Two still aren't pitching. One was supposed to be there a couple weeks ago. Cole Hemmer was going to be their starter on Fridays to replace Zach Hess with the move back to the bullpen, and he got hurt. He's out. So right now they're going really with two pitchers that are recovering from arm injuries, and a third pitcher, actually a freshman who's also kind of come back with a sore arm. So it's LSU's whole thing is they try to get to the fifth or sixth inning, hopefully with the score relatively close, and maybe get to the reliever of the other team and do well against the reliever. That's been their MO.
What's Cole Henry's injury meant to the team? Because I know he had a big outing against Florida the last time he was able to pitch.
Oh, yeah, it's been everything. I mean, really, they were about to name him as the Friday night starter or the starter for the opening SEC series when he went down with a sore arm. This is his third week he's out. They were and then the next week they actually did. Last week they finally moved Zach Hess back to the bullpen where he was just tremendous, lights out, as he was as a freshman 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And the idea was to move Cole Henry to that starting spot on Fridays. Well, the first week they didn't do it, and then they kept Hess in the bullpen. Last week they went ahead and did it, and LSU won the first game of the series last week, but lost the last two and really didn't have much left in the bullpen the last day when they really could have used him in a comeback loss.
You know, I know a lot of people up here in Arkansas are interested to see Eric Walker again. 2 years ago, he faced Arkansas twice and shut Arkansas down twice on Sunday up here in Fayetteville and then down at the SEC tournament. What has he been like, though, since he came back from Tommy John?
He's kind of working his way back. He has his good games and his bad games. I mean, he has most of the time this year, Eric, he'll have three or four good innings, and then it'll just all just like fall apart. And like it's just like in the fifth inning, it'll just disappear. It's happened a bunch. Every game he's getting better bit by bit, but he's certainly not yet the guy he was 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And just like last year, I mean, last year the guy was Mattel Hilliard, a freshman who was tremendous last year. Where they being right for the SEC tournament last year, they shut him down for the year with sore arm, and really, I mean, he's been battling back the same way all year. He'll have, you know, three or four good innings and then just get shelled. But again, these are two guys at LSU right now are counting on as starters in their rotation, and they really don't want to count on them as starters. They're trying to avoid that, but right now with the injuries they have to other people, that's what they're kind of, you know, stuck with. So again, they're just trying to get through, you know, four or five innings and keep the game close to see if they can actually get something off the opposing reliever, because their LSU has not hit well off starting pitching in the SEC.
Mm-hmm. You know, 2 weeks ago, most people thought LSU was probably going to be a regional host. And now after losing to Ole Miss, losing to Louisiana Tech the other night, maybe there's some doubt about that. How big do you think this Arkansas series is to, you know, obviously not a lot of time left. How big is this to LSU's regional chances?
No, I think it's huge, a regional chance. I agree with you. I think they're just about, out of second chances, out of time to host a regional. You know, I mean, 4 or 5 weeks ago, you would have thought, hey, well, maybe it'll be a number eight, you know, one of the number eight seed. And then it slipped to like, okay, well, maybe I'll host a regional. Well, now it's like, man, I hope they can host a regional because, losing to Ole Miss last week at home didn't help. And these midweek games, LSU's just been really this lethargic and bad in them. And I know they're midweek games, but still, if you go out and you get hammered in the midweek game by somebody you're probably supposed to beat, you know, there's a way. I mean, if you lose some midweek games, it's probably okay, some. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, they're 5-5 right now against in-state teams and non-conference games. And just got hammered by Louisiana Tech, just kind of showed up and just – you know, was there. And I mean, it almost looked like a team that just wanted the season to be over the way they approached the game. The excuse was, well, then maybe they were, you know, they had no pitching arms left from the weekend. Well, okay, but does that give you an excuse to take the night off? Mm-hmm. And that's been a a big bugaboo with LSU. It's, you know, like I said, it's a vicious circle. I mean, the pitchers come out and give up a bunch of runs early. The batters feel pressured and they start pressing, and they don't, you know, and they don't get any runs, and then the relievers, I mean, the starting pitchers trying to hold on until they get to the relievers to come in, and it's been a battle every game. Not one game has been easy for them. It really hasn't. I can't recall a game probably in the past three or four weeks that really that you would say it was an easy game for LSU.
Ron, I remember in 2013 here in Arkansas, number one consensus team in the preseason, and they just never really lived up to those expectations. They were never as strong as they appeared to be on paper before the season, and then maybe toward the end of the year, you could tell that they were kind of pressing, and that was getting to them. Can you sense anything like that with LSU? It seems like it's maybe kind of a similar story, given that they were number one in all those polls before the year started.
Yeah, I would say that. Yeah, I think they are pressing. I think it is getting to them some. Yeah, I agree with that. And to compound all this, early in the year, Paul Menary's dad died, and his dad was his mentor in baseball, the reason he got into baseball. And I know Paul's, you know, trying not to let him affect him, but it just seems to me he hasn't been himself either. And I don't know if that's helped either. And he's tried to fight through it, not let it get to him. But at times it just seems like Paul's not himself. And this team is, like I said, everything has like five pitchers on the DL right now. And just really hasn't ever been able to get the starting pitching it's needed to kind of get off and get starts in games and kind of get good confidence. It just hasn't been able to do that.
You know, you look at the statistics, Ron, and, you know, Arkansas is quite a bit better, and statistically speaking, they've got a better ERA. You know, they're slugging about 100 points better, much higher batting average. But here in Fayetteville, it's interesting when you talk to people, they say, "Oh, well, you can't look at that. Look at what LSU's done against Arkansas. They've beaten better Arkansas teams." And maybe it seems like there's been a psychological advantage. I wonder, when you talk to LSU fans or you interact with them leading up to the series against Arkansas, do you ever hear anything like that? That, you know, maybe, hey, we've had Arkansas's number and everything's going to be fine this weekend?
I think most LSU fans who've seen this team play this year are just hoping they don't get swept, really? Honestly. Yeah. Maybe because they haven't shown anything that you would lead them to believe them. All of a sudden they're going to do something magical, because it just hasn't happened. I mean, normally under Menary, LSU's teams really play well from, as Paul likes to say, from tax day on. And this team is like 6-6 since tax day. It really hasn't got anything consistently going. And I mean, and with all that, they're still four games out of first in the SEC and three games behind Arkansas in the West, even with all that. But there's a feeling, just the way you've seen them play and operate, and it's like every game is the same for LSU. It's the same form every game. You know, can the starting pitching hold up long enough to get to the reliever, and then can LSU's hitting finally get something going once they get to the opposing reliever? It's the same formula every single game, and it really hasn't worked out enough. And now you got an Arkansas team who, I mean, look, they're tired of losing LSU. They've lost seven straight series. Okay, they're tired of losing LSU. They know they've got a good team. It's a team, as Menary said, came within a pop up win the national championship. He feels they got a team that's just as good or better than last year. And I just I'll be surprised if LSU wins the game. It's probably it'll be a win for LSU in this series, because I don't know, honestly, with the bats Arkansas has and the way they're pitching and right now, how much the series means to Arkansas since their position in the league. If LSU won a game, that would be a hell of a deal for them at this point.
You've had a chance to see the other teams that are contenders in this West race: Ole Miss, Mississippi State. A&M probably doesn't have a chance to catch up, but they do play Arkansas next week. How do you think this West race is going to – how do you think it's going to finish up?
Well, I think you're probably looking at Arkansas and Mississippi State. I think that you're looking at. I mean, I think those are the two best teams in the West. They've pretty much been that way all year. Ole Miss has been kind of up and down. LSU definitely has been up and down. To me, the most consistent teams have probably have been Arkansas and Mississippi State. You know, and amazingly, LSU won the series at State early in the year, but it's really hadn't been the same LSU team since. But I like Arkansas and State. I think they're the two best teams in the West. I really do.
I want to ask you real quick, Ron, before we let you go, about Antoine DePlantis and the year that he's had. Obviously, he's probably not going to catch Jake Mangum for the overall SEC hits record, but he has a chance, I know, to catch Eddie Furness. Just your thoughts about this year and what he's been able to do and maybe the career that he's had down there.
Well, I mean, majorly, he has eight home runs, which is more than he had his entire career before this season. And he showed a lot of power, a lot of pop. He went into a brief slump because, he thought he was trying to really drive the ball too far or pop up a lot of stuff. He's kind of gone back to being himself and as of late. Had a really good year, had a great career. And as he likes to say, I'm not even the best athlete in my family. And that's his brother's a world record, world-class pole vaulter for LSU, Mongo DePlantis. So, but he's had a great career. He's the best clutch hitter on that team. Every time he comes to the plate with men on base, you feel a bit uneasy if you're the opponent because he's a guy, as they say, gives you a professional at bat. He will work you and work you and work you to get into what he wants. And I think he's I know he's batting 305, but there's nobody I'd rather have at the plate in the clutch situation than him because I know that he's going to make the pitcher work every single time.
Yeah. Antoine and Mondo DePlantis will both be in Fayetteville this week. Mondo up at the SEC Track and Field Championships. He's had a heck of a year, hasn't he?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it'd be every week it's like 19 feet something. Yeah. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, his consistency is unbelievable.
Yeah.
When you get a guy that passes to like about when he goes, I'm going to pass like because I'll start when he gets to 19 feet. You're like, what? but he's been a great athlete, been a great, from pole vaulting family. As I told Antoine one time, I said, Antoine, I've been around so long that I covered your dad when he was a high school pole vaulter in Lafayette or former LSU. So a great athletic family. Antoine went the other way, went to baseball. I think he's not regretting it. He'll be a nice high, MLB draft choice, and hopefully he can, have a decent career and a lot of speed, good bat, good, smart player.
Well, Ron, we appreciate your time.
All right. It should be a fun series, but I'll tell you, I just been watching, keep my eye on the Hogs all year. I know the end of last year was tough. And as an SEC guy who likes the SEC teams win, my heart broke along with everybody else's when it played out last year. So it's a new year, and hopefully y'all will get back there. So I think y'all got a really good program. It's a hell of a coach.
Yeah, I definitely think that way the end of last year or the way last year ended, I think that's really been driving this team this year.
Well, good. Well, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right, thanks. Ron Higgins, TigerDetails.com. We'll be back next week to talk about the Arkansas-LSU series, recap it, and look forward to the Razorbacks' regular season finale at Texas A&M. Until then, hope you'll join us at WholeHogSports.com. I'm Matt Jones. Have a good day.
The proceeding has been a production of WholeHogSports.com. Look for our latest podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at WholeHogSports.com for the latest news and commentary.